Hello and welcome to episode 473 of How About This?
Wah, DJ Roby, voici un peu hip-hop français. Salut tout le monde, c'est How About This? On l'écoute sur la bande de How About This? La connaissance et les rondes dans How About This? Les meilleurs podcasts se fondent sur How About This?
Isabella, Jason, il commence à la dialogue. Isabella, Galilée, ma baba, des détroits. Isabella, Kiki, il est constamment en vogue. Et ainsi, on rentre de courage, se trouve à Werner Herzog.
Hello.
Bienvenue au podcast How About This? Cette intro est à la langue de la fleur de lys. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Les emplois d'écouter How About This? How About This? How About This? How about? Direct à Melbourne en Australie, motherfucker.
Welcome.
What a time to be alive. I've got no comments to make about the number, so let's move on.
We're back in the garage.
I know, Jason Geary's back.
Yes. Had a week off. Week away.
How was Auckland?
Auckland was great.
I bet.
Do you call it
was.
No.
Yeah, that's
Can
what
you
he
do
calls
that?
It. Oh, every time he tries to say it, he's
Awesomeland.
Thanks for having me at the improv festival.
Awesomeland.
Could you say that?
Auckland.
Yeah, you can say it.
I mean, you can say it. Awkwardland. If it went poorly, you could say it's Awkwardland.
Yeah.
Auckland.
Great. Really good. Ended up living in a house with four other improvisers for a week. And
nice.
There were three-bedroom house and there was...
Hang on.
Four improvisers, three-bedroom... Oh, because two of them are together, I'm guessing.
Yeah, both were couples.
Yes. Okay. Nice.
They were both couples. I had my little room.
Nice.
And I was living with two couples for the week, and it was delightful. People I hadn't seen for a very long time.
Yeah, nice. It was a good collection of improvisers in Awesomeland.
Jill Bernard and Eric, and I'm just like, I mean, that right there is a gift.
That alone.
And then living there with Felipe and Vivian. Remember Vivian from Hamburg?
Probably if I saw them.
Yeah, yeah. Felipe and
Vivian.
And Vivian are married now.
Are they married?
I think so.
Oh, well. At least under the eyes of God, they are.
If they're not, they shouldn't be because they're a great couple.
Yeah.
They're a great couple. In my brain, they are.
You ship them.
And it was lovely.
I know some of those people.
Joe Bill was also over there. And so we had a really great time.
Yeah.
Lots of good catch-ups, lots of great chats.
How did your shows go? You did Fat City?
Oh, look, I landed in Auckland. I went straight from the airport.
It's called Awesomeland.
Awesomeland.
You just made it Awkwardland.
and got off the plane and went to the theatre.
Yeah.
Had an hour and a half rehearsal for Fat City.
It's almost too much.
And then put it on the stage, and then the curtain came up. The space they have there at the COVID theatre is something else. Let me tell you,
did you say the COVID theatre?
Covert.
Okay.
Yes. Covert theatre.
Right. Yeah, you got to pronounce it. Otherwise,
It does sound like COVID.
It triggers people.
Like, what?
Yeah. COVID theatre. Well, that's great. So you had a good time, and did you do Love as well?
I did Love as well. Yes.
Oh man!
Out of a workshop.
Wow.
Tuesday night did Fat City. It went great.
Yeah.
Try something new in there as well. It went great.
Yeah.
And then the next day I had a Love workshop.
Yeah.
And then the following day I had the Love show.
Wow.
Oh, was there a Love show? I didn't realize that. I think you just did the workshop. Nice.
So cast out of the workshop, and it was good times.
Nice. What songs? What were some of the songs you played?
I just went off a list that I already had.
Previous hits.
Well, you see, the only thing that was, a tad disappointing is the way to say it, even though I don't mean it in a nasty way.
Yeah.
But we were sharing Love was sharing a slot, so it was like a half-half.
Sure.
Thing.
Oh, yeah.
So we didn't get a chance to go through a heap of songs.
Oh, okay. It was just a little snippet of
love. Yeah, it was a little snippet of love. So we had Love Story Taylor's version, a standard opening. Then we had Better Together from Jack Johnson.
Ooh.
And that was it.
That's all you need.
It was got a couple of good scenes out of those two. Then it was time to be done.
Bam.
Because it was in a half-half slot.
Yeah, so everyone got a little taste
Linda
of
Linda Calgaro and Daniel Allen
being the other half. Secret Life of Cats.
Secret Life of Cats. Which was great. So yeah, it was it went really well.
Well and done then, you. And did you get to perform in any shows?
I did a couple of shows. Did a show called Ferris Wheel.
Oh, I've done that. Yeah, that was good fun.
Yeah, I've done Ferris Wheel and then did a teacher's show.
Just let them flex.
Yeah, just let us get out there on stage and flex.
Yeah,
you know me, Joe, Felipe, Jill. Yeah. Everyone's just flexing on stage.
Yeah, come on.
Dunking on the audience.
Oh, you like improv? Here's some improv.
Yeah, bam, 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 bam.
Internationally recognized teachers.
Oh, that sounds like a hoot.
Which was a real good time, which actually gave me like a night and a half off as well.
Oh.
Which was after a month of comedy festivaling and going literally straight from closing my show on Monday night to onto a plane Tuesday to off the plane performing Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
It was just one big long run. I think I had three nights off in the last kind of 5 weeks.
Wow.
So I enjoyed performing all those things. I finished my show. Thanks for coming, RB.
Oh, it's a pleasure to make it to your fourth show. Where did that rank in your list? You've got the third show was the highest.
Second.
Then the one I saw. So,
my show was the best?
Yeah, your show was the best, as you called it.
Yeah, Carl's was the best. Then mine was the second best.
It just got skatey in bits, but I don't think it broke.
Then opening night was third, and then second night was the low point.
Yeah, you called it.
Second night blues.
But one thing I will say, having done it now over the course of a month, is I'll never do a show a week apart again.
Yeah.
It's fucking hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard, especially when you're doing other stuff during the week.
You forget your learnings.
You forget them. I had to write them down, and then I'd spend Monday afternoon trying to redo everything in my head and re-put the learnings in, and nothing really settled. Like, it was always kind of just front of mind, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was easy to miss stuff or again, I was like, damn, I just didn't feel like I got to run it in, you know what I mean? Even though I did it four times, happy with the shape of it. But it was much more difficult than I thought it would be doing a show a week apart.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for that reason, you don't get into the groove.
And you don't
get to keep applying the things that you learned from the last show straight away into the next show, and then reshaping it as you go. So it was always just you learn a lot, but it's all still in the all right. I learned some stuff, but I'm not sure how to put all that together the best way yet.
Because you get the core. Because I remember the shows you do with Jimmy. The show that started at the start of the comedy festival and the show you did at the end of the comedy festival were different. The core was there, but you'd find moments and there'd be stuff that you could shove in and all that sort of stuff, and that would
the
make
audience
it different.
Trains you and helps shape your and different audiences will do different things, and you've got to learn. Well, this is something that will appeal to all audiences. Mm. Oh, this was something that only worked for that one audience. So don't get lured by that.
Yeah, yeah,
tricky business.
473 could be a prime. Feels very primey to me.
I mean, I glossed over it. I just wanted. I thought, why get hung up all the time?
It just jumped into my head.
But you're right.
7-3, man.
It does. It feels prime-esque.
Yeah, it really does.
Mm. When Carl gets a little twitch.
When I get a nerd.
He gets a prime twitch. Yeah. Although he is often lured by anything. He thinks anything with a 7 is a prime. And that's
pretty much.
Is 473 a prime number? Google says no.
Oh! No. Lies.
Divisible by what?
It's solution 473 is not a prime number. Let me see.
Oh, I don't get too
factors
far.
Of 1, 11, 43.
Oh.
Mm.
43.
That makes sense.
I don't go past. I don't go into double figures with that stuff.
That doesn't
count.
No,
12, because they're my timetables.
Right.
It's a prime if you remove complications.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Once you're getting up into 43 times 11, too much.
When I was in Auckland, I found myself with a little bit of time on my hands, and I was walking. I've been walking up and down the main strip of a Ponsonby, where the theatre is. Very fancy suburb, kind of akin to kind of Toorak South Yarra-y kind of vibes. Very, very bougie.
It sounds like it. I mean, Ponsonby. If you're not posh, if you're not a fancy little suburb, then you've got your branding all wrong.
It's like the suburb just out of Auckland that's up on a hill, and you can see the skyline of Auckland like perfectly.
Of course you can.
Yeah.
Oh, Ponsonby. Stop it.
Ponsonby.
Stop it, Ponsonby.
Though there's Chelsea. Chelsea is not so. Chelsea's pretty working class.
Yeah, but it does sound
England,
like it
it's
should
a
be.
Very rich place.
Oh,
in
so,
England.
Yeah, right. That's right. So Chelsea in England is fancy.
It is. The rich part of London sort of thing.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's like the Australian Chelsea's shit.
Sure.
They were just trying. They thought, of course. Has anyone taken the word Chelsea? Because that's fancy.
Because like Brighton here is very fancy. Like all the suburbs want to be Brighton. That's why you've got East Brighton and Middle Brighton.
North Brighton.
And stuff. Yeah. But in England, Brighton's I think like down.
Brighton's on the beach, isn't it?
Yeah,
down south.
Brighton Beach. Yeah. Down in the coast and stuff. And I don't think it's a particularly fancy place. So it can happen in reverse. Mate, isn't the world funny?
It's a crazy old place.
But there's only one Ponsonby. I think we can all agree on that.
I think so.
Name another Ponsonby.
Ponsonby in England.
It's not one.
Oh.
Yeah. That's where you're wrong.
Damn it.
So I was making my way up and down the main street of Ponsonby to get to workshops, cafes, et cetera, et cetera. And I walked past a tattoo place called Two Hands Tattoo. And I was like, Two Hands, what a great film.
Better than
great
one.
Film. It is. What a it is great good film.
Heath Ledger.
You know what
breakthrough,
else is great?
Breakthrough role.
Shoddy's are great.
Yeah, Shoddy's fucking great, man. and Pando. And I was like, that's a great name for a tattoo place. I need to get a tattoo.
I'm going to reward you, Two Hands.
Because I
but how do you judge a tattoo place that you've never seen before?
Here's what I did. I walked upstairs. And I had a look at the place with my
eyes. He eyeballed
it. And I was like, it's got a cool vibe.
Okay.
Cool
pass the vibe check.
On. Okay.
And I went and had a talk to the person. I said, hey, for my 49th birthday last year, not my 50th, my 49th, I asked my daughter to get a cover up for one of the very first tattoos I got.
An impulse tattoo, I regret.
An impulse tattoo where I was like, I just went to a place in St Kilda. I heard the tattoo shop was good.
Yeah.
I walked in, picked something off the wall, got it done. It looked shit.
Meant nothing to him.
Meant nothing. Was like, I've been carrying that around for almost 30 years.
Yeah.
Every other tattoo
it
I have on me.
It doesn't reflect who he is.
Yeah. It reflects a time though. Because those tattoos were big. Like tribal tattoos around that time were pretty big. Yeah. So it marks that time.
And
but so does a calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... You don't have a calendar on you.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so for my 49th birthday, a whole year and a bit ago, I asked Clementine to do me a design to go over the top of it.
Fix this shit. Come on.
And Clem didn't trust herself with her own equipment to do a cover up, like complicated cover up like that. So it had always been on the cards. I got the design promptly and I'm like, when
she'd done the design, but she didn't want to make it a reality.
She gave it to me.
Yeah, yeah, but like, she didn't want to do it.
No, like, she didn't want to do it. Yeah, yeah. It's a lot to do a cover up.
I think I've seen that now. Like I think, because it was black and white. She had black and white design. So she didn't specify the color and stuff.
No. Because what happened was I went in and I talked to a few people there. And the great thing about tattoo artists now is everyone's got Instagrams.
Yeah.
Right.
So I talked to the guy and talked to this girl and I said, who's comfortable doing a cover up and stuff like that? They both give me their Instagrams. I'm flicking through going, geez, they're both pretty good at what they do. But the guy was like old school tattooing, like sailor tattoos, really, really bold.
Classy.
Really bold colors. And I said to the guy, I said, hey, would it help if you put colors in this, like for the cover up? And he's like, that would be a dream. And I'm like, do it, man. Do it.
Nice.
So I booked myself in. I went and saw them, booked myself in for the following day.
Yeah.
Gave the guy 24 hours to come up
to
with
get
stuff.
Get his shit together. Get your head around it.
And so, and then 1 o'clock the following day went in. Meep, 2 hours under the thing. And a good almost hour just lining it up because he kind of drew it on.
Yeah.
Okay. And instead of like getting a whole stencil to try and fit over, he got a stencil and cut it up and then kind of drew it onto me. And then so now I've got a fresh tattoo.
And what did they do anything with the bit that's already inked?
Yeah.
Did they re-ink that?
Yeah, re-inked it, went over the top of it.
Does that hurt?
A little more, I think.
Yeah, right.
A little, after a while, it just kind of all went numb and stuff. But because his lines were a bit thicker because he's got that old style, he was like doing lines with a little thicker needle to what you'd expect. Which was ouchy. And so there were some bits of colouring, and I think those bits of colouring were all over the old scar tissue that were just like, whoa.
Hey.
I feel like there's technology now where they could just numb.
They could numb it, yeah.
They could numb your whole area that they're tattooing.
If you're a pussy.
Yeah, but what?
There's cream that you can rub on, but I think the thing is, I don't know if it affects the needle or anything, but one explanation was that it won't last long enough. Yeah. And then the pain will come in midway.
Yeah.
And you don't want the pain coming midway while someone's doing a needle on you.
Yeah, yeah. I did what I do with all my tattoos. I take 2 Nurofen.
Yeah, boy.
An Endone, Valium, some Oxy.
Get very drunk.
2 Nurofen right before I go in. So about 2 hours in, you're like, oh, this is starting to hurt a bit more than it has. Yeah. But so very happy with it. Super happy with
No more regrets.
No more regrets.
You turned a regret into a proud dad moment.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's great.
So it's got good colour in it and stuff like that. If you want to check out the whole journey, go on my Instagram. It's right there.
Yeah.
I'm Jason _D_Geary.
Yeah.
And you've still got, I know it's been covered up, but you still do have that mark in time from that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like that shadow's still there
lost,
underneath
it.
So
you
haven't
lost.
Like
you've evolved.
Just saying, you can take the old parts of you and evolve it in something new and
beautiful. Yeah, I like that. That's nice, Jason. Yeah.
I philosophically, it makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah. Just
Only mistakes. Use them as a platform to make something beautiful from.
Springboard.
Speaking of mistakes.
Oh, yes.
Uh-oh.
The Elon Musk Cybertruck.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yes.
It's been recalled a couple of times for various little things here and there.
Because it's too good.
Yeah. the latest one where they had to do a recall, the accelerator pedal can dislodge get stuck in a way that jams the accelerator to the floor.
Short round style.
While you're in the car.
Oh, that's
so clever. It dislodges and that's suddenly great. You're going as fast as you can in an electric car, which has all the torque.
Yeah.
So it's instant like boom.
It walks the walk and talks the talk.
Yeah, so they've had to call them all back to fix that.
I mean,
that
is the sort of thing they probably should fix. Yeah. Although I like it. I like the gamble, the Russian roulette of it all. When every time you press the accelerator, is this the time?
Is it going to happen?
Could it happen? I like it.
Oh. Snap.
You'd never feel more alive. And then dead. Yeah, and then dead. Yeah, but that moment before death.
I reckon they designed it that way for your risk takers, for your bank robbers.
I think he did design it. Because Tesla, he's not even the guy anymore. He's not the CEO. He's not designing the looks in those cars. It's all being done by other people. But the Cybertruck, that's all him.
That's all him.
He's like, I want the shittiest looking thing I can add. Yeah. I want it stainless steel.
It's probably a rot in some way. And here's a random fact that speaks to businesses' ability to rot the system.
Oh, we're segueing like...
IKEA.
Yes.
Is... a non-profit organization.
What?
Dedicated to furthering the advancement of interior design. This lets them pay a fraction of taxes.
Of course.
The owners make money by licensing the IKEA trademark to the non-profit side of the business. So the owners of IKEA, they've got nothing to do with it. They just licensed the brand IKEA for quite a sizable amount of money to the non-profit organization that uses the IKEA brand name to further the advancement of interior design.
Yeah.
So when you go to IKEA, I mean, you're not going into a capitalist hellscape.
It's a charity. No.
It's a charity that's trying to just push the envelope of interior design further.
Maybe I should.
And they're not in it for the money. They're in it for the design.
You should just go in and take what you want from IKEA and just be like, I'm furthering interior design in my house.
I just got no money. Help. He's the guy who started IKEA. I don't know if he's still alive. He lives the same life he lived before IKEA was like a.
Oh, so he would have you believe.
He's got a little house underneath the underground.
Yeah, it's like a James Bond.
But
cave.
There needs to be some sort of common sense. Like adjudication on this stuff, where it's like technically they've worked a loophole that's there, and that stuff is probably in place for good reason. Like good stuff can happen because of that sort of setup.
Yeah,
but someone should be able to look at that and go,
"Oh, come on!"
It's what churches have been doing for years, though. It's what churches have been doing for forever.
They can't do that. Religion as well.
Yeah. They could make themselves a church very easily. Absolutely. The Church of Interior Design.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know why there isn't
something. Can we make ourselves a church of podcasting?
I mean,
get tax free.
Yeah, because I mean, all that money we're earning, it'd be great to be able to get a tax write-off.
I know, we do lose most of our money in tax.
Yeah.
Our sizable empire. But how about this empire is crippled by taxation demands?
Sweden does have really high tax laws as well. So maybe that's why they did that, to try and scoot around it. But still.
But IKEA, I feel like you're in a position now where you could probably just wear the tax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're doing all right, IKEA.
Is that worldwide? They managed to do that worldwide?
I imagine. What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Yeah.
But someone should be able to shut that shit down. At some point, someone should be able to look at it and go, you're joking, aren't you?
So what
you're
Rick
joking.
Is saying is fuck all churches.
Yeah.
They're a shambles of an organization. A corrupt fifth state.
Should we take on churches? Is it time that, how about this, threw the gauntlet down and took on the religious industrial complex?
All right, I'm in. I got
the
no religion
time
in
has
me.
Come.
We've been taking pot shots at bottom feeders for too long. We've been trying to take out all sorts of ridiculous nonsense.
Big pharma.
Yeah,
they're nothing compared to big religion.
Big pharma's a tiny cog.
Oh, tiny.
Big pharma, I wouldn't be surprised if big pharma's just a front for big religion.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Doping the masses.
Yeah.
Big religion's a front for big science.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big Pharma's there to distract from big religion. So people put all their energy into trying to take down Big Pharma.
Yeah.
And they just let big religion do what it wants.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, your time's done, big religion.
We're on to you.
I'm on board.
You're going to be paying taxes through the roof.
I guess what I did last night.
Watch TV. Shut yourself.
No.
Shut yourself while you watch TV.
No, two guesses wrong.
You watched something scary.
You're one guess left.
What was last night?
Last night was Anzac Eve.
It was Anzac Eve. Did you go to the footy?
No.
You went to the shrine?
No, I did go somewhere though.
Oh. You went to the pokies? Oh, we used up all our guesses.
Yeah, you did.
What is it?
I went to the Northcote Theatre.
Oh, you did.
You saw Paul Dempsey.
I did see
you
Paul Dempsey.
You gave us the sizzle on this.
Damn it. Yeah. How was it?
It was fucking great.
Of course it was.
It's really good. We got there early.
The man's a treasure.
So is it the Northcote Town Hall or is it something else?
It's the Northcote Theatre. It's just down the road from the Northcote Town Hall and across it. Same block, practically.
Yeah, right.
Old town hall, old kind of theatery thing turned into a great music venue.
Nice.
It's just not the town hall.
Yeah.
No, but it's not once, the town hall, but it's down the road from the town hall. Last time.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
I did.
So shut up, Rick Brown.
It's down the road. It's a stone straight.
I know my history.
You could see one from t'other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That should be a thing. One from t'other. That's like a fantastic cafe.
Yeah. So Paul Dempsey, lead singer from Something for Kate, standing up on stage, acoustic guitar only.
What more do you need?
His voice
just,
is the best.
Just covering songs.
So you need
the best.
Yeah.
Like, so good. I Want to Break Free, highlight.
Yeah.
Last Goodbye, highlight.
Oh, Last Goodbye.
Wow.
Jeff Buckley.
Does he go up? Does he sing as high as Jeff Buckley sings?
Yeah.
He sings in his own way.
He sings it in his own way.
But yeah, he fucks it up.
Beautiful.
Yeah, Dempsey's.
Yeah.
Dempsey fire.
Never Tear Us Apart.
Oh, no.
Whole room singing along with it.
Wouldn't you?
Bowie, some Bowie in there, some Downtown Train. Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
It was really good.
How many seats is in the place?
Let me see, 24.
Wow. So real one-on-one performance kind of
intimate. No. There's 24 seats in the place, but it holds 1,400 people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a stand-up venue.
It's a stand-up venue.
Is it? Yeah. Okay.
Plenty of people there. Hopes of people.
See, there's a balcony, right? And I was kicking myself for a while. I was kicking myself for most of the concert because we got there early. We'll go in, we'll see if there's any seats. Myself and my lovely wife, Sam.
But had she just had her COVID and flu vaccines?
Yes.
Oh, no.
In the afternoon.
But that's all right. That's because it's normally the next day because I think she's feeling a little poorly today.
Yeah, she's a little poorly
checking in this morning.
Yeah. She's wrapped up on the
couch.
But
I think probably last night she would have been at the dim edges of that.
Both of us are like, don't touch my arm, at the moment.
Sure.
Like,
oh, no, you have it as well?
What's that? No, I got a big tattoo on my arm.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's
pay attention, boys.
So sure. So that's still sore.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a massive scar.
I've never had a tattoo, so I don't know.
Yeah, you have.
I mean, it's at that itchy scab up phase now.
It's a wound.
Yeah, it's a wound.
So it gets itchy, but you can't scratch it.
Why would you?
Yeah, you want to scratch the scab off it.
So what do you do? Then you got to pay for
to get it
more tattoo.
Yeah, yeah.
So you scratch the scab off.
You put your creams and your unctions on it.
Yeah, you've got your creams, you've got your bepanthins, you've got your unctions. Right. I had a second skin over it for a while.
You're also like, that's a work of art. I'm not fucking with that.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Anyway, so we get there and one half of the seats are roped off for very important people who are not us.
Whoops.
Other half of the
and
seats.
You're like, do you know who I am?
Yeah, other half of the seats because we got there like just after thinking that the whole upstairs was seats.
You're like, thank God I'm here. Yeah. Am I right? Let me in.
And we get there and there's two seats right down the end, but they look like they're taken. And I'm like, I should go talk to those people and see if they're taken.
Yeah. Mm.
We stand there for a good 5 minutes thinking those last two seats.
Mm.
And the last two seats, there, it's like bar stools and a little bar along the edge of the balcony. That's what the seats are like. Dead front of the balcony, a little bar, prime spot.
Couldn't ask for
super
more.
Prime. And I'm looking at these two seats going,
do it.
Jeez, I should go. I say to Sam, I should go over and
demand those seats.
And right as I say that, we both look over and there's a guy with earpiece, like a bouncer guy, just pushing the chairs in. And me and Sam look at each other and go, oh, they must be taken. Bouncer guy's there. Anyway, the people who came in just before us, like literally up the stairs before us, who'd been waiting around for 5 minutes as well, they had the gumption to go.
Gumption?
Are these taken? No. Slipped straight in. I was kicking myself.
Mate.
The whole opening act.
I was just
over there going, God damn. So
damn.
At this point, we have a choice of where in the row of seats we want to stand behind because we've got a super clear view.
Yeah, good view.
Like really because people in front of us are sitting and there's a step behind them. So we've got like super clear. No one else in front of us, right? So we choose our spot. This is it. Just camp there. Opening act comes. Opening act goes.
Who was the opening act?
Called Merpire. A woman. Are they called Wormpire?
Get it right. Don't fuck it up.
Come on.
Merpire. Merpire. Merpire.
Oh, that's a weird mermaid vampire.
A mermaid vampire.
Yeah.
All right. I'm back on board. I didn't like it. Now I like it.
And they were good. They were really nice. Same
they
sort
sound
of thing.
Like they were
acoustic.
Adequate. That's what I'm hearing.
They were mic'd at their amp was on stage with a microphone against it and they were singing and playing so the balance wasn't great and it was to the point where I was like, is this going to sound okay tonight?
Yeah.
But then Paul Dempsey came out and he was, you know, put through.
Oh, he hamstrung the support act, so that Paul Dempsey got the full effect.
Yeah. And
they're like, don't spoil him just yet.
And so I'm there, and the guy in front of me, as you can tell, there's an older audience there, you know, about our age, probably, you know, from mid-50s to 45s with some young people there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of age bracket, something for Kate, kind of 90s age bracket there. So everyone's jonesing for seats. Like, everyone's coming to Jones.
Oh, my knees. I can't stand up, my knees.
Like, even if I had
have
gone.
I've got a tattoo.
Yeah, even if I had have gone, it's by age, I would have been out. Those first kind of dozen seats gone, easy. So we choose our spot. Paul Dempsey comes on. Guy in front of me is up and down like no one's business.
God damn it.
Like no one's business, up and down. And the chairs are so close together, it's like a fucking, like you've got, someone's got to move out and then you've got to move in. It's like a parking thing. Every time this guy and his wife are up and down. And
doing
this guy,
like
going
to
get drinks, going to get drinks,
and then going to the Dunnies. Like,
just stand up.
Yeah, and
don't,
just
you don't deserve
like,
a seat.
No. And his wife would take picture, like video, and her light would go on.
Oh,
the thing.
No. Come
and
on.
I'm like, come on, rookie. And then she'd stop her video and check her email and like look at shopping emails and stuff important. Like that. And I'm
like, the sales
so
are on.
I'm trying very hard to focus, right? And I'm focusing. And from where I am, like we're halfway down front of the balcony, great view. A dude in front of me sitting down, getting into the music. Good on you.
Yeah.
But as he gets into the music, you know, he hangs his head a bit and he loves to put his fucking hand up over his head like he's a fucking cricket umpire, right? Like just singing. Like just, singing along. When his hand goes up, it perfectly covers all of Paul Dempsey for me. Just the one fucking guy along the whole front row. Just head down, just fucking grooving along like a fucking blind cricket umpire, just swinging his head side to side, Stevie Wonder style, finger up in the air. His arm gets tired. I just kind of slide across.
Yeah.
Right? and then other hand comes up.
Oh, I slide son back. Of a bitch.
And he starts doing it so much, his arm gets tired. His hand goes down in front of his missus's face. She doesn't notice because she's on a phone until she does notice. She smacks his hand down. Up goes the other fucking finger again. And then he put it down for a while and he'd be down for a while. He'd go, fuck off and come back. And then he'd come back and be like,
yeah.
And it's like the one place on the whole front of the balcony we got. I looked across. The people down the end sitting in our seats have a great time. No fuckhead's hand in front of them like that.
Nah, it could have been you.
Despite that, had a great time.
Yeah,
it was great. But I tell you what, I got geared. I geared myself.
Yeah.
The one spot I picked, and I picked it.
Yeah.
We were there. It was like, this is great. We had our choice of the whole row. We decided to camp here. I get Hands guy. Dr. fucking Hands.
Dr. Hansy.
Otherwise, great. Had a really good time.
Oh, awesome.
Outrageous.
And a beautiful, just.
Well, it's a lesson to all the listeners out there to have some gumption.
Yeah.
Go for it. If you see an opportunity, take it. Don't wait. Mm-hmm. Don't wait. Don't be shy about it.
Don't be shy about it.
No harm in going up and saying, are these seats taken? And they say, yes, they are. Yep. What have you lost?
Yep.
What have you lost? But if you go up there and you say, are these seats taken? And they say, no, please take them.
You couldn't have
them. Aren't you the winner?
Dr. Fingers right in front of you. Just selectively getting in your way.
Yeah. There's a whole separate universe where there's a more gumption-filled geary.
Yeah.
And they sat through that gig in pure bliss.
Bliss. Didn't have one thing to get angry about.
But our podcast suffered for it.
Yeah.
Because his story was quite short. It just went, we got there, we sat there, had a great time, and we were comfortable the entire gig, the end.
Yeah.
And who wants to hear that story?
Yeah.
Not us. So in many ways, I prefer this universe.
Yeah. It was weird because I'd been living in New Zealand pretty much the week before that, and I hadn't had one person stare at me in public. And then I went to the gig and
I was like,
everyone's fucking rubbernecking.
This guy. This fucking guy. He was in that comedy festival show. Don't go Jason Waterfalls.
Well, I saw his third show. I heard it was the best.
I saw his second show. Boo.
Then get out of here.
Oh, fucking, what are you doing here?
I'm going to sit in front of him and put my hand up in front of his face.
Hide your face.
Son of a bitch.
He's just looking
at me some J-Bucks.
He's looking at the reflection in his phone.
Yeah, that's what his wife was looking at. But it was a great venue. And they had, because it's an old hall, like it's, you know, it's a big, beautiful, all that kind of space. And they had lights shining from the stage up onto the roof all the time.
Oh, cool.
And a gigantic mirror ball at times. It looked beautiful as well. So, if you ever get a chance, go to Northcote Theatre. Not the town hall.
No.
Not the town hall.
The theatre. It's Northcote in the town hall.
The theatre.
Go there. Go to the Northcote Town Hall.
While we're talking about music, We've got a couple of drops to talk about. Firstly,
yeah.
T. Swiddy.
Yeah.
On the last day I was in New Zealand, dropped their album.
Mm. Yes.
And downloaded it for the plane.
Oh, wow.
Smart thinking.
And listened to it on the plane.
Good.
And look, here's my assessment.
Yes.
I don't mind it.
Yep.
But it's a lot of the same thing over and over.
Did you listen to the anthology, the 31 track?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Sure.
It feels like the same song quite a lot.
Yeah, sure.
I feel like I didn't dislike it.
Yeah, yeah.
But the energy between tracks, I was like, are we in a new track now? It was lots of Antonoffi.
Yeah.
Lots of Antonoffi energy, which I don't mind.
Nah.
But as for 31 tracks, yeah. I want at least 50% of them to sound a bit different. For
the Antonoffi thing, sorry, and just straight up, I haven't listened to the album yet.
Yeah. Why not, Carl?
On his latest album, there's some awesome songs on there, but then it goes into that. It goes into weird
sort of background noise.
And you were the first person that called this on his first album, which we're listening to. It was awesome. But it kind of becomes like The National. His voice, he starts singing really slowly and deeply and the songs become more sort of minimal and kind of just dissipates.
Yeah.
And I feel like his new album's a bit like that.
Yeah.
So I hope he isn't overstepped with T. Swift and put a bit too much of that in. I haven't listened, so I don't know.
Well, I'll
but that's where I'm at. I don't dislike it.
All right,
but it's a little samey.
Well, I'm down the T. Swift rabbit hole. And there's two things. I think, Carl, when you listen to it, you should probably start with the album that was released as their album, which was the 16 track Tortured Poets Department that was released first.
Is the second thing a different name, or it's just
there's the standard album, which is 16 tracks, and there's the anthology, which is 31, which is the 16 and another 15.
All right, cool.
And it's got a black cover.
Yeah.
Okay. Sweet.
So listen to the 16 track one first, because that's more of a tighter package, obviously. And
just sorry for my dumb brain. The 16 tracks is included on the 31 tracks. Yes. That's not another 31.
No, no, no.
Okay, sweet. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Proceed.
And I reckon Taylor Swift is in a very enviable position now as an artist, where she knows that the bulk of people who are going to listen to this album are going to listen to it a number of times.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't have to, like I was saying, albums need to have that sugar hit energy to lure people in.
Mm.
And then there's those songs that after a few listens, you're like, oh, I didn't like that one to start with, but now I really like it.
Mm.
And so she's at the point now where she knows that she doesn't have to give too much of the sugar hit straight away.
Mm-hmm.
She can put in a whole bunch of songs that are only going to hit after six or seven listens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And then
they're going to become like fully, like people are going to be like, I fucking love this song.
Well, that was Folklore for me. Like this is cool. And then I just think about the song.
And so that's where she is as an artist now. So I think her albums, she knows that she's going to get multiple listens, and so she can pitch her albums at that level. The 16 track album has some absolute bangers that the singles that come out are gonna hit big, because there's a bunch of really good. I agree. For me, I haven't listened as much to the next 15 tracks.
Mm-hmm.
They do meander a bit. I felt like it starts really strong the second album, and then the whole middle bit does feel a bit same.
Yeah.
But I haven't listened to it that much. Mm. Probably after seven listens, I'll be like, oh no,
I love it.
But yeah, I think she's in a really great position, because
I read somewhere that this is the equivalent of like the Bruce Springsteen album Nebraska.
Yeah,
people come back to it, and it'll keep growing. And it's like here's some for you, here's some for me.
I already love it like exponentially more than the first time I heard it. Like
the first time
I heard it, I went, oh yeah, that's pretty good, but it's same. Like it feels like a Taylor, and Jack album. You know what I mean? Like I'm hearing a lot of this similar stuff, but then after a while you're like, fuck, I can listen to nothing else but this now.
And it is good. Like she's not having to do singles and things. Like it is.
Yeah, I mean she does. She's released biggest Fortnite. Like
I know that she'll release singles, but in terms of just like she's not having to go.
Yeah.
What's the greatest, biggest hook that I can get right now? Who's the best beat maker in the world right now? And you know, like some artists have to do.
She's also in a great position. She kind of gives like caveats to her albums now, where like Midnights was. Before it was released, she sort of gave it the framework that these are the songs like my midnight doodlings that I've been working on, like haven't necessarily made it onto albums, but now I've come back to them and I've turned them into, you know what I mean? So they were kind of released. That album came as that vibe. It was almost like a bonus album. It was like, here's a bunch of stuff that I never thought I would release, but I'm going to. This one was released as kind of like, she sort of framed it as I feverishly had to write my my way out of my emotions sort of thing during this time of my life.
Sure.
And it's called The Tortured Poets Department. It's a very lyrically dense album, like, and cool. But she's framed it that way that she can get away with it.
Yeah.
She can I've gotten real wordy in this. It's a real just like a bunch of songs that just explode. Yeah, lyrically and how I was feeling and blah, blah, blah. So she's able to, they're not just like, here's an album, what do you think of it? It's like, here's what I was coming.
She's got the platform to set up the album, position the audience, as we say.
Yeah, And it almost gives her a way out. I can't think of the word, but yeah, it's something. I can't remember. It's,
gives her a platform.
It lowers the stakes for her
as
an artist because she's saying it's not, I'm not just releasing an album. It's this album is
gives
coming.
Her context.
She contextualizes it before she releases it.
Yeah.
And gives her a leg up before she starts.
And because she started so young.
Yeah.
They are like those parts of, like, this is this part of my life. This is this part of my life. And so they are.
Yeah.
Snapshots of her life when she was 16 and now she's in her 30s.
Eras, baby.
That was one that dropped. But another one that dropped while I was away, and I have not been able to stop listening to it, Vampire Weekend album.
Oh,
Vampire Weekend album. It is number one with a bullet for my album of the year.
Oh,
early.
Fucking love it.
Okay, I'll have to give that a listen
And look, when I'm away, I've mentioned this on the podcast before. I like, sometimes an album gets its hooks in me and if I try to listen to anything else, I can't.
Yep.
And I just listen to the one album when I'm away over and over again. And this might have been that album, but on the morning I left, I was at the airport and I was like, I'm going to download some new albums that have just been released in Dolby and in the Atmos thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll get some classics. I got an old Billy Joel album that's just been remixed.
Ooh,
and,
nice.
And I got the Vampire Weekend album and I started listening to it and I was like, musically, it is the most interesting thing I've listened to in such a long time.
Wow. We've listened to some interesting stuff.
The vocal is amazing. And Vampire Weekend, I've always associated with that kind of emo sound.
I feel like they were like the ultimate hipster band.
Yeah.
Like they sang songs about Oxford commas and things like that. Literally, that's a song.
Yeah. They must be emo because they've got vampire in the title.
Yeah. The empire is own. Sorry, the empire, come on. sorry, I'm looking at two different words at the same time. The album is called Only God Was Above Us.
Mm-hmm.
It's the album cover is someone sitting on a train, like legs sitting on a train. It's just come out. If you go to a Vampire Weekend, it'll be in their latest thing.
How did you get onto that? Because they were massive, it was 10, just 15
there.
Years ago.
Yeah,
I
it was
reckon.
Just sitting there in the new releases bit. And I went, like, I'll give it a go.
Okay.
I don't mind Vampire Weekend. I'll give it a go. And it surprised the shit out of me. And I love it. Like, it is so interesting. And the vocals are great. I like the sound of his voice as opposed to a lot of the stuff we've been listening to throughout, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and the music is just something else. Like, it is.
So they've evolved.
Yeah.
So does it sound like their old stuff? Or?
No, they use all of the instruments.
All right.
All of it. Orchestral, strings, electronic
strings.
Stuff. The thing I could think that it had a connection to was kind of Flaming Lips kind of deal.
Okay.
But a little like that. That's kind of, but not, you know, like, but still really, really. So listen to it this week. Listen, just go and listen to
Justin's
it.
Justin's banging his fist.
I tell you what. Like
he's passionate. He's into it.
You know, it is the antithesis of the Taylor album. You cannot pick what this album's going to be and what it's going to sound like song to song.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming they've released albums in between their two really big albums.
I don't know.
I just haven't heard from them. Once they went away and they've come back.
Lizzie McAlpine also dropped an album, Older.
Who's Lizzie McAlpine?
Great. Yeah. Carl.
Why don't I know about it?
Because we've talked about it endlessly on this podcast. Have you just don't listen to us. But her new album sounds like
Whose new album?
Lizzie McAlpine.
Don't you start with me. Who was that guy you got us onto? It was like a
Andy Schaff.
Andy Schell.
It sounds exactly like
Andy Schell.
I said to Sam, I reckon Andy Schell had at least a couple of producing gigs on this because there are times where
there's one song where I was like, is this Andy Schell?
Yeah, yeah.
We've not talked about, we have not spoken about him on the podcast.
Oh, listen to Andy Schell. I feel like bearer of bad news.
I know about it because of Jason recommending it on the podcast.
Yeah. Nah.
It's that concept album that was like at a being at a party or something like that.
The Party is one of his big ones.
Oh, yeah. And it's just low key, Andy Schaff. He's cool.
It's just Andy Schaff.
Andy Schaff, mate.
Yeah. Come on,
get on board.
Andy Schaff.
Andy Schaffman.
What you doing?
That's what I always think of. Andy Schaffman.
Had a new album last year, but yeah, The Party.
Not interested.
The Bearer of Bad News is my favorite of his. That's the 2015 album.
It's The Party or Nothing for me.
All right.
Get on board, Andy Schaff and Lizzie McAlpine.
And Taylor Swift and Vampire Weekend.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do Vampire Weekend first. Let's make that the review album for this week. Check it out. We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah. All right. Although you didn't do our review for the last week. You didn't even bother listening.
Why didn't you
listen to Taylor Swift?
Because by the time it came out, it was like, I was actually listening to a podcast. I hadn't listened to a podcast all year. And so I found a podcast and I was like, this is a really good podcast. I got to listen to that album. It's like, oh, okay.
You're just an anti-Swift. You're a hater.
I'm not.
Hater's going to hate.
I like her.
She's going to shake it off, though.
She's a shifty.
Shifty. A bloody shifty.
We're two Swifties and a shifty.
Two Swifties and a shifty.
Oh, I've got a thing.
Okay.
It's
about how much you hate Taylor Swift?
No more music talk? That was a good bracket. That was good.
You're excited. You got it off your chest. You let people know. Bang the table. Vampire Weekend.
Do it.
And
so God is above us.
If you take anything away from this podcast, 473, that's not a prime. Listen to Vampire Weekend.
Yep. Yeah.
And also.
On the weekend.
Do what Carl couldn't do. At least give the 16 tracks of Taylor Swift
I will.
Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? If that doesn't get you going, I don't know what will.
All right. That's a Swiftie song, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. MAGA Republicans, that's probably the answer to that.
We do need a slight apology to What's Her Face.
Alyssa Milano.
Yeah, we implied that she'd gone MAGA far right because we were like, oh, she's been cancelled for some reason. Right. We assumed it was because she'd gone MAGA alt right, but no, she hasn't.
No,
right.
I said she was getting cancelled because there was a backlash against her for getting rid of people.
We thought that might be part of it, but
we're
pretty sure she probably just said something stupid about being a MAGA.
Yeah, right.
That's not the case. What Carl said was exactly right. It was just like she'd made some poor stuff about asking crowdsourcing money for her son to go somewhere. Yeah. And then she and her castmates on Charmed have been like, she was tough to work
Shannon
with.
Shannon Doherty fired, basically.
Yeah. And that's all it was. So I don't think Alyssa Milano's been fully cancelled. If she has for that's a bit rich.
Yeah. I mean, they're all, you know. Apparently, Shannon Doherty is hard to work with as well.
It's just a bit of beef.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just classic Hollywood beef.
Here's something great. The $100 million Melbourne Star observation wheel opened in 2008, 2 years later as the Southern Star. Cracks caused by design problems caused the wheel to close just 40 days after opening.
Yeah.
It was shut between 2009. Yeah.
It's too hot.
Because it was made from a certain type of thing that had boron or something in the metal that's used in Europe.
Oh,
or
they
something, because
it.
Where it's or in colder countries, well,
probably won't work in Europe anymore either.
But it cracks when it gets hot.
Yeah, but that was also the hottest. Like it hasn't been that hot since.
Yeah, it was like a few days in mid forties when that happened.
Mid 40s, and the wheel went.
Cracks caused by design problems caused the wheel to close just 40 days after opening. It was shut between 2009 and 2013 as it was taken down and rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
It has been in liquidation since 2021.
Yep.
Rumors are mounting that the wheel could be sold as parts. A metal-based recycler puts an estimated price for the 1,250 tons of steel in the wheel at $437,000. It cost $100 million. And they built
Should we put in a bid?
Yeah, I reckon.
How about this?
We'll just build a smaller one.
Look, Patreon subscribers.
You can make one of those pods, like the one that's at the bottom of the little theatre.
Yeah.
But they were saying, because then when I saw that, there were all the comments on the news article saying it was the worst. It went slow. Yeah. There was things you couldn't take food or drink on there.
It's in a shit part of the city.
Yeah, and it was like, it's great if you want to just look at industrial wastelands. Yeah.
Which does look good at nighttime.
Oh, but it's lit up.
Yeah, it looks nice at nighttime. It's like
Blade Runner. There's a nice view of the city on that side.
Yeah. But it was just,
look over the...
Because it was just the location. Yeah, it was one guy's folly, basically, who put a whole bunch
madness.
Of money in. It's just, anyway, it's going to disappear.
Ferris wheel madness.
It'd be weird when it's gone. Oh, no, it won't. It'll just be normal.
And be like, that's where that shit thing used to be.
It's funny. It's a nice reminder of the folly of human nature.
And they built it there because it's like, well, where else can you build something like that? Mm. You need a big bunch of space.
Yeah.
But you look at the London Eye.
Down by the bloody Yarra,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what everyone was saying. Like down the Yarra, somewhere along there, would have been much better. Because it's open land there as well.
Near the MCG.
Yeah, the yacht club kind of section.
Yeah, that whole
multiple
section.
Multiple planks.
Yeah. Where the rides are in Moomba.
Maybe we make them an offer that we'll buy it, but we're going to move it. We're not going to scrap it.
Piece by piece.
We're going to move it bit by bit.
Nah, just get a
bring
helicopter.
Bring it to the garage.
Get all the helicopters or all the drones.
The Mulgrave wheel.
Yeah.
Mulgrave wheel. Whack it on your balcony.
Put it on the map. Fucking cracking view from my house. Yeah. Cracking. Imagine on a fucking Ferris wheel.
And if you look down, you can see Jason's house. That's Jason's car. That's Sam's car.
And we could podcast in the wheel.
Yeah.
And we podcast for exactly one revolution.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Each episode goes for one revolution.
You could set the spa up in one of the other pots.
And you can have, it goes really slow and takes a long time. And you couldn't take food or drink on it.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't take a year. I mean, it doesn't take like a week.
I know, but still, like you.
If
you
can't last an hour,
it's like an hour.
It's just a dumb thing. Like, it was a dumb rule.
Yeah, it is dumb. Although, you know what teenagers would be like? You know what the teens?
They'd be like
with their
vaping.
Food and drink.
Vaping and taking dumps and writing shit on the
throwing
windows.
Throwing their burger pickles on the sky, on the big wheel windows.
I don't want a Ferris wheel now. You've talked me out of it.
Oh, no.
Mulgrave.
The Mulgrave wheel is dead.
Oh, no.
It was a short-lived dream. It burned bright. But couldn't sustain itself.
Oh, talking of things.
Talking of stuff. Yeah. Our segues are getting lazier.
I've got a stuff.
I've got a stuff about
speaking
a person
of,
we should apologize to.
You do? No. No, you did. That's
Alyssa
right.
Milano.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
I watched The Marvels the other day. Our family watched The Marvels.
Yes.
We fucking loved it.
That's what I said.
It's like.
It's great.
It's like Thor, Love and Thunder.
Yeah. But right.
But, yeah, they got the comedy right.
That's what I said.
They got the drama right.
Do you remember
right.
me talking about it on the podcast?
I do, because I remember you saying that. I'm like, Rick was right.
Yeah.
He was so right.
Yeah, just got everything. Like, the humor was good. The concept was great.
I might give it a watch today.
Oh, you should watch it. And Ms. Marvel, I don't know what her name is. Yeah, but the actor's name.
All right.
She's funny.
Yeah.
Like, she's naturally just a real funny person.
Yeah.
She's so good in that movie.
Mm.
So, yeah, I loved it. Also, I think it was... Must have been Marvel or Disney came out and they were like, yeah, we should have paid more attention because it got a lot of backlash and
stuff. It's because of fanboy cockheads.
Yeah. And
women are superheroes.
But they came out and said, rather than going, oh, you know, it's a fucking great movie, they were like, yeah, we probably should have been a bit more hands-on with the filmmaking and like came in and started apologizing for the movie.
The film doesn't need to apologize. It just needed to be marketed.
Because when they said that, I was like, oh, maybe it's not great. And I'm like, Ms. Marvel's show was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, anyway, I really liked it. It was great. Mm. And just some bits, like we were piercing ourselves laughing at certain bits.
Yeah. And of the modern Marvel films that have come out, like it shits on a lot of them.
Yeah.
Like,
because I love Shang-Chi.
Yeah, that was good.
Shang-Chi was
and
a good one.
It was similar thing. Funny, like really funny in bits, really, and great action stuff.
Yeah.
The action stuff in this isn't martial artsy, but the whole premise of the
thing,
great action.
Fun. Yeah. Okay. And, like, shit's on the Eternals. Oh, come on.
Oh,
the Eternals was a low point.
I really like the Eternals.
But it's no Marvels.
Well, it's different. I feel like that's good because you get different types of comics. When you read comics, there's
these
sorts.
All right, I won't lay into the Eternals.
I just thought it was a really kind of thoughtful movie and I liked the action in that. And I just liked the way, you know, it was like a quieter, more contemplative film about power and stuff.
Bit of quiet contemplative.
But it was great. Because I remember going to see it at the movies because I saw it outside on the Classic showing. I'm like, I have to take Alexander to see that. And then drove back like a couple of days later, gone. And it was gone so quick. I was like, God, it must be really bad.
While we're talking about.
And now I'm just like, the world sucks.
While we're talking about Marvel.
Yes.
I do have a Marvel fact.
Oh my God. Ooh. Oh my God.
A proper segue.
It was bought by.
It is a common misconception that Cyclops of the X-Men possesses the power of heat vision. Incorrect.
Right.
He actually projects a powerful beam of concussive energy, which feels more like a strong punch than a ray of heat.
Right.
Common misconception.
It doesn't burn anyone.
No, it's not a burning ray. It's a smack in the face ray.
Right.
Right. I think they've got that wrong in the films. I feel like the films definitely gives it a fiery, very much a laser from the eyes in the Bernie laser. But I think it's more like a fist from the eyes. Harder to do from in a filmic way.
X-Men 97. Yeah. Anyone checked in on that yet? You're still making your way through the old one.
Yeah. I'm just with Alexander, but we watched that very seldom, so it's going to be a long time before we get to it.
Before you watch X-Men 97 with Alexander, you should watch, of course, The Boys with Alexander. And
Generation X.
Gen V.
Has anyone watched that?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Is it like the same?
It's like The Boys, but like in high school.
Oh, perfect. Get more
college,
perfect.
College. Sure. It's good stuff. It's crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But yes, and just
not family stuff.
No. Alexander will love it. That's what I'm saying.
I wonder what would happen.
If you think The Boys is a bit full on, Gen V is perfect for Alexander. Definitely watch it with him and don't stop watching it no matter what happens.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right.
He's got to learn.
Oh, that's so. I mean, the stuff I'd seen by his age.
Fucking. And
killing
in
America.
I'm
killing
fine.
He's great. Fine. No anxiety.
No
scars.
Fine. I'm good.
Yes. Everyone accidentally shits himself.
Yeah. Oh, we have to talk about something.
Oh. Kevin?
No, I've just got Raul's song. Kevin. Jess and Raul.
Yes, the AI generated.
He did an AI song, but I haven't listened to it because I thought we were listening on the podcast and then I forgot to talk about it. Yes. So we have it set up to listen to.
We should bring up AI song. So for those who aren't aware, Jason Raul, long time this now. Mm.
Can you bring it up on your phone or Bluetooth into the desk so people can hear it?
He and I think his, maybe his son, diddled around on AI software to create music.
I think Jason Raul did it first and then his son did one as well.
Yeah.
That was my understanding.
And let me find out where it is. And he's, it's a conundrum because he was like, should you guys even play this? Because it's like,
because he was talking about the Robbie Ellis. Like, I just made this song in 20 minutes. Just
20 seconds, mate. It doesn't take 20 minutes.
Robbie Ellis. Yeah. So it's like a,
I just don't know.
Do you do it? Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing?
Can you pause the podcast for a second while I find where it is?
Right. We will be back in a minute. I thought that was the thing. Don't worry. We'll be back in a sec.
We needed to stop for some reason. Now we're starting again.
And we are back.
All right. So here's a bunch of AI-generated songs. I will say, look, he's obviously entered some stuff to include in the song. So he's given AI a broad idea of what needs to be in the song.
Okay.
I will say, I think I played around. This inspired me to play around a bit with the AI stuff. And you can't control how long the song. It kind of gives you a minute and a bit.
Right.
A minute and a half.
Sure.
Okay.
So they'd be much better if you could trim them down to 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. They're a bit long for theme songs.
Right. You can't tell it to do theme songs.
Well, like, not that I could.
Okay.
This was just free software though. So paid for the extras, you could. But yeah. So they're all a bit long to be actual theme songs. But this is what AI came up with under Jason.
I haven't listened to these yet.
Jason Rowell's guidance.
Nor have I.
This funky little place, and it's in that garage space where the center of the universe exists, where we listen to three guys. Every week is a surprise, 'cause you know you're listening to How About This? First it's Jason, he's so funny. Then there's Rick, he's so funny. And there's Carl, he's there too. And sometimes Amanda. On the autopilot, how about this? You've been given a fair warning. How about this? Just try to hide your yawning. How about this? It's the podcast that you're ill. Just keep listening to How About This? Good night, Briar.
And that's just kind of stops.
Nice.
So that was one version.
Old ragtime army swing.
Yeah. Version. No, big band sort of.
Welcome to How About This?
Yes, tonight on the show.
We talk about Nutsies.
Now, this one, I quite like this.
Right.
It's got a real, you know, American celebration on a beach vibe.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
I mean, this is contemporary country.
Yeah, this is Americana.
Get on down where the party's high.
Oh, no, just straight country.
And the sun is shining bright. How about this? Gonna be there too.
I hate this.
Gonna dance to
I love
the morning
it
light.
Because it's so bad.
Rick and Carl gonna do their thing. Playing hard and raising hell. Jason's maybe gonna try to swing. How about this? You can never tell. How about this? Just gonna rock this place tonight. We're gonna podcast till the early morning light. These three guys are gonna strut their stuff. End of this and they're on it. Can't get enough. How's about this? Just gonna rock the night away.
It goes on with a guitar intro, but that's that hits the heights. That you is, know? But it is just a country. I like
this. Yeah.
That type of country music is my most hated music in the world. Like,
Carl's got a pickup truck.
Yeah. I hate it so much. It hurts.
Right time.
Yeah. If you're feeling kind of blue,
oh my God, it's like
930s. And you don't know what to do, why don't you tune back down to How About This? When life is really low and you need a little glow, then give yourself a taste of How About This? How about this? Jason runs the show. How about this? Rick has facts to know. Always so sublime. Amanda's there when it's a prime. You're listening to How About This?
Carl is so sublime. I stuck Carl is so sublime in there. Just go to the instrumental, but that's the taste of the ragtime. I quite like it.
Ragtime's got something to it.
I've got one more saved here. What's this?
It's like an Elvis song.
It's the gospel,
it's
baby.
It's blues, man. It's soul. Soul.
How about this?
It feels like gospel to me.
Rim shot going there. Needs more cowbell. It's fitting that the gospel one is asking for money. Going back to our conversation before. Of the show.
Finally.
Rick and Jason are there, you know. What?
It's my favorite one by far.
It's like Michael Bolton singing.
It's not a Michael Bolton.
Yeah.
So that's a taste of the AI generated, and I will say it honestly takes about 20 seconds.
Right.
Like you type in the prompts, and it thinks for a bit, and then it churns out.
Song.
That quality of song, which is frightening.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I'm going to say it right here.
Novelty wise, great.
Yeah.
Not a patch on getting something from Robbie Ellis. Well, a link going, I just thought of something.
Absolutely not.
You.
Yeah. You take Robbie Ellis every day. But again, as I often think with AI, this is AI reassuring us that there's nothing to worry about.
Mm.
It's like, this is what I did in 20 seconds. Oh, I couldn't do anything better.
Yeah.
I definitely couldn't. This is the limit of what I'm capable of. So don't you worry.
But I think it's, I I think, because I was thinking about it, is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? Because is it going to kill music and stuff? Because there's going to be so much AI music on
everything's trying to kill music nowadays, except Vampire Weekend.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like if Robbie Yellis sends you music in, you know that's been handcrafted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and so you appreciate that more. But that was great. You know, yeah, that was cool. That was fun and stuff like that. Mm. And I think one of the things AI is doing is it's going to democratize things. I can make music now that I would never be able to make. And then it's how creative am I?
Yeah.
Because you'll get people who aren't creative that will make shit songs.
Yeah.
Like there are people who play real instruments that make shit songs.
Because it's not that different to us sticking around on GarageBand.
Of course.
Using,
yeah,
the loops. Totally. Using the preloaded loops.
We're not like, writing that.
Yeah. And at the end of it, we're like, look at this song I made. No, I just put together stuff that the computer had there for me. I didn't create any of it.
Yeah.
I just organized it. And even then, you know, it was pretty much hand fed to me what, yeah, how to do it.
Like, because you actually had a keyboard thing. You like, yeah, you've made a proper song on doing that sort of stuff, and that took more time and effort and stuff. So I appreciate that one.
But it was
more
your
than
worst
one.
It was my worst one.
So yeah,
let the computer do its work.
But the same for art and photography and all that sort of, yeah, stuff. I think it just opens it up for everyone to express creativity.
Mm.
So you might be creative, but you can't put a pencil on your hand and draw fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But your creativity can make amazing prompts that can create something that no one else could create. I think it's good.
Carl's on board.
I also think, sorry, with education and stuff, I think you're going to end up with personal tutors. Like, because in the old days, if you worked in the factory and as a little kid,
yeah, go, which you did,
you would learn. Yeah, oh, yeah, so many factories
before Fagin rescued you.
Yeah, oh man, the tales. So you would learn enough to read and write, so you could know which button to push in the factory.
Yes.
And, you know, not to get your hand chopped off or whatever.
Mm.
And the rich kids got solo tutoring, like one-on-one tutoring and stuff. That's what AI will become as, yeah, well.
Button
like
pressing and point, hand preservation were the top two subjects.
Because you can't make bottles if you don't have a hand.
No, not good ones.
Nah.
And you can't be a tattooist, a two hands tattooist.
True. Oh, that's a bit exclusive.
I know.
Like, yeah,
whatever.
I've only got one hand.
Mm. But no. I've got tattoos to tattoo.
It's a bit ableist.
It is.
No, you could have two tattooists with one hand working on you.
Yeah.
Equals
so
two.
So you're saying if you've got one hand, you have to pair up?
Yeah.
Shame on you.
So it takes two people with one hand each to be as good as one person with two hands.
What if I'm a one-handed lone wolf?
It just takes two hands to be.
Make light work.
Yeah.
All right. So
otherwise,
yeah,
just spoil the broth.
I'm really sorry. I got to bail.
Carl's gonna
I
go.
Should have bailed like 10 minutes ago.
Ah, this guy.
Yeah.
All right.
So we're bang on an hour.
Yeah.
You got what you paid for. Carl's got his things off.
And when, yeah, we say paid,
yeah,
paid
please
nothing.
Go to our Patreon and yeah, please pay some money for us.
For a new soundboard. Board. How about this?
Thanks very much for listening this week.
Thanks,
we'll
Jason
talk
Raul.
To you next week.
Bye.
Auto-generate my theme songs, Hooly Doolies.
Listen to Vampire Weekend, dogs.